This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic banter. Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun. Dynamic banter. Honking horns and ringing bells and making good. Dynamic banter. Don't forget the history road. Dynamic banter.
Hey.
You rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We took the Molly about half an hour ago. It should be.
What is that like? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
What is it like?
It was okay. It wasn't worth doing again.
I'm not into pill drugs. I did welcome to the show, by the way. I did an unmarked.
Sorry, Mom.
What I was told was Adderall in college once because I had to do it like a 15-page paper at the last second.
Oh yeah, I've never done Adderall. That's that. I hear good things, but then you hear the bad things, and you're like, No thanks.
It just made me very unhappy. I would never do drugs. Fuck me right up.
Let's call my mom and ask her what drugs she's done. Just call my mom every week.
I bet I could guess.
I don't want to do that to her. It's so funny because she texted me after the show. Shout out to my mama.
Shout out two times.
Uy, mamá Estela Zaragoza, one time.
Remember when she made me tamales?
Oh, yeah. Dude.
That was the best Christmas of my life. I don't there even remember what else happened.
There was some tamale politics. Tamalitics.
And pinolitics.
In the family.
Oh no, did I get somebody else's?
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just like whenever there's like family shit going down, things like making tamales and stuff together go like kind of goes by the wayside.
That's the first thing you lose.
Yeah. So there's, you know, family drama and shit. But, you know, we still do our own small family tamales. Yeah. Uh-huh. And ooh, mamma mia, they're so good.
Italians do the same thing with lasagna.
Yeah.
Everyone brings a layer.
until
there's a falling out.
Until there's a falling out of the spaghetti.
What happened to the ricotta? Well, I'm not talking to Steven, that's for sure.
Vincenzo was supposed to bring the mozzarella.
Yeah, but Vincenzo slept with my sister.
Oh! Mamma mia!
Everyone in unison.
Mamma mia! It's like a state sketch, dude. Remember the Popa?
Dude,
the Popa!
His Holiness the Popa, who was a shot, did not die.
We love the Popa.
Mom, that happened 25 years ago. Shut your mouth, you dissing the Popa!
Fucking Thomas Lennon, dude. Classic shit.
I love them.
So I said to my mom, I said right after the episode, I says to my mom, I says.
Now you sound Italian.
First of all, she texted me, Dynamic Banter was fun, is what I said, okay, mijo. And I said, love you, yes, of course, perfect.
She's perfect, dude.
And she said, nice movies were also, I hoped, a nice way to look at sex. I tried my best, mijo. I love you. And I was like, Mom, you're always...
I made you watch Ghost with me, mijo. I made you watch the clay scene.
Remember the clay scene, mijo? Remember? Remember how that worked, mijo? Because he was a ghost, mijo? Yeah, Mom, I remember. Because Audra Mae Brown, mijo. Whoopi Goldberg was there, mijo. And Patrick Swayze's ghost went into Whoopi Goldberg, mijo.
You remember.
And then, basically, Demi Moore was having sex with Whoopi Goldberg in that scene.
And I know we don't say that.
And you don't think about it, mijo. But just so you know, mijo, that's what's happening in that scene, mijo.
And my parents, I would watch Married with Children with my parents.
Yeah.
And I would laugh whenever the laugh track happened.
Yeah.
And they would be like, why do you think that's funny? My mom would be like, what do you think you're laughing?
Dude, is that where you get your like on the spot? Like, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
My
shit?
Parents weren't ever. I'll tell you this right now, homie. My parents, especially my dad, were never ever as mean as I could be. I got like cuttingness from my friend, from just trying to survive around my friends. But my mom is like, regardless of how you take it, my mom will just say the most correct, most obviously happening thing that there's no denying that.
That's important, man.
Yeah.
That's important.
She was never mean about it though, because she's a genuinely very sweet person.
Would people miss? See, here's where, like, because we're getting right into the nerve of something we were talking about earlier today. Before
it's not
going to
be a
started.
Long conversation. I won't let it.
No,
get there.
But it's close to that. It's all part of that same discussion about how we were taught to handle moments where you're wrong. And how that's such a formative moment for you as a child.
How you're taught to be wrong.
How you're taught to react to being wrong, or how to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, TV shows kind of taught you how to be wrong.
Or somebody's interpretation of it.
Or someone's interpretation of it. And sometimes they'd get all mixed up and shit and, you know, whatever. But it really comes down to the formative years, I think.
Yeah.
And how, like, you laughing at something on Married with Children that you didn't get, but you were laughing because they were all laughing.
Yeah.
And your parents going like, but what exactly are you laughing at? Is a really good moment. Because they're saying, like, you're not doing something right, really, right now. But you're having a fun time and you're a kid.
Kind of, they would never say this, but kind of you're being a little fake.
You're being a little fake right now.
And imagine as an adult, from, like, 22 to on beyond, 93 to infinity.
On and beyond. Batman on and beyond.
Starring James Willis. Imagine telling a 23-year-old you're being a little fake right now.
Dude, I know.
That was my entire group of friends.
You're lucky
be like,
duck,
Rich,
dude.
You're being fake.
That's some lucky duck shit. You had a part of them lucky. You were part of that lucky duck club.
Which brings us to our first sponsor,
Lucky
Duck Club.
Hang on, let me pull.
And
up.
It's a monthly subscription.
Let me
club.
Pull up the song.
Lucky Duck Club. Every month get a duck.
Do you ever slip in your own shit and wonder why the fuck you're such a dumb, clumsy piece of shit asshole? Well, why don't you come down to Lucky Duck? Why don't you get some Lucky Duck?
Lucky Duck Club.
You keep a Lucky Duck in your pocket, and I guarantee you're not going to be a clumsy, dumb shit
anymore.
You fucking klutz. Get a Lucky Duck, you dumb idiot. You fucking moron.
Get Lucky Duck Club. What is that?
It's the Lucky Duck Club.
What is it?
The wicked.
Why would you pay for that?
Because if you're unlucky, maybe the lucky duck will help you out.
Holy
dude,
shit.
But I was going to say that...
it's so stupid.
It's so stupid. Like, did you watch Roseanne when you were young?
Mm-hmm.
So I, like...
Roseanne, Rosanna Dana.
And, you know, we're not talking about current Roseanne. We're talking about the glory days of that fucking show, which was, like, amazing. But I didn't see it until I was, like... older.
Yeah.
And then I was like, whoa, are there families like that that like call each other out on their shit and like make fun of each other and pull pranks on each other and shit?
Uh-huh.
But it's all done in love and kindness, and like it's annoying because it's like, oh, dad doing his dad jokes and shit.
Yeah.
But it like really seemed like the kind of ideal family unit where, I mean, you know, certainly not for everybody. Some people want the Full House thing where everything's kind and clean.
Nobody on Full House ever kept each other in check.
No. And
Michelle
no one
would cry, and then they'd be like, why is Michelle crying? And then music would play. Well, maybe what I figured out at the end of the day was.
Well, Michelle, I hope you learned a lesson today.
I hope you learned why cleaning is important.
Yeah, I hope you understand that two oranges isn't too many oranges for you.
Why no one watch Full House knows how to take criticism as a grown up?
You know, Michelle.
I'm too oranges. And you know what they say.
But like, I didn't realize that like fucking, you know, there was two family units being represented in television. Well, actually kind of three almost, because there was the satirical version of Roseanne, which was Married with Children, I think. Yeah, because that's not real, hopefully.
No, that was like a way over the... That was like pro wrestling family.
Right. But Roseanne seemed closer to a family unit like that, mm-hmm. where you kind of call each other out on your shit and you joke around and like it's a... Because I meet people who talk about how their families were like that.
Right.
And it was like, whoa, cool. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. And I feel like that kind of family unit is one that breeds an adult that understands that sometimes you call people out on their shit. Sometimes you protect yourself in a way that's like, you know, a little bit... not so candy sweet, like, you know, not so coddled, like fucking Full House.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I'm not saying be verbally abusive to kids.
No, and I'm also not saying
call people out when they're doing, you know, whatever. Or there's no call to action. We're just talking about the way people are. You know who I come to, who comes to mind is Red from That 70s Show.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Eric would just wander upstairs and say something high and stupid. And he'd be like, dumbass. Like, you need that. And it does, you know, nobody's parenting style is perfect, but I'm just so glad I got called out.
And that show was brilliant because they took the two family units and they put it into one show, because the mom on that show was like the Full House mom, kind of.
Yeah, never wanted anything bad.
Yeah, no conflict, just a sweet lady. And then every once in a while, she'd go like, fuck you, or whatever, and it'd be like, oh! And she'd be awesome, and that show was great. But Red was like totally the Roseanne, like, dad. Right. Like, the guy that's like, you're a dumbass, and like, stop being a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. And his way of parenting was very much like, I'm gonna treat you like an adult when you're a kid,
right?
So that when you're an adult, you're like more than equipped to be an adult,
right?
You know, and it's like some people, they get the Full House treatment a little too long. Yeah.
That's why it's good when you have two or more parents.
Yeah, or two or more parents that are like at least differently,
right?
You know, that are different, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's also the benefits. And again, I'm not saying that like living that Full House kind of like, you know, saccharine, sweet, kind of like treat everyone with the utmost respect kind of thing isn't really necessarily that bad.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, for me, it's like...
It's nice to feel like you have a nice, safe home.
Totally. And family again, unit that's like respectful and tight and not based in anything gross or like fucked up, you know? Sure.
It would be ideal to be ideal.
But for me, it's like, yeah, like I think that makes you... Especially if you want to be like a creative, I feel like it's helpful to kind of like
be able to take criticism.
Exactly.
And not always think that everything you do, everything you shit out is going to be gold. Right. That's super. And then that gets into like, you know, the way where art is and how it's seen and passed around on social media and stuff. It's so ingrained in us to like do stuff every day. In order to be a successful YouTuber, you have to do this many videos a day sometimes. Right. And sometimes you need to like it, you need to make it when it needs to be made.
Right.
It, not just because it's Wednesday. You know what I mean?
Right.
And to get your whole fucking life experience and to say something in the thing is, I just think it holds more weight than... And to be able to, like, I just love doing stand-up to strangers. And you say something, and either they laugh or they fucking don't. And when they don't, it sucks.
Right.
So much. But then you tweak it and work on it to the point where, like, they laugh.
Right.
And that feels like you're doing something, and you criticize yourself, and you listen to other people's criticism that you take with a grain of salt, and you're able to turn that unpolished turd into a good...
Right,
thing,
right. It makes you a better observer, a better artist, a better person, I think. Because then you're like, you know, I guess it comes down to like how much effort you want to put into the type of person that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want to be better at A or B? And do you know you need to be better at A or B, but you don't really have people around you telling you that you need to be better at A or B?
Yeah. And sometimes it's an energy thing. Like, totally. You don't have the energy because it's draining to look critically at yourself.
Oh, totally.
And then and frightening. To turn and then to not get lost in that and to turn it around to something productive.
Right.
Like I'll be critical of myself and then I'll move past it and try to like improve. That all takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't have that because there's pandemic or you're on drugs or whatever, you know? So you understand why it's a lot, but it's just good. I admire people who can look at themselves critically and and then whatever.
Fart noise totally. Come. But I will say this. If you're one of those people that struggles a lot with like, you know, that kind of stuff, then maybe you can check out Lucky Duck.
Lucky Duck.
Lucky Duck is the latest. This script is old.
Lucky Duck.
Why'd you give me this fucking old script? This is, what the fuck is this? You sent this to me at 3 a.m. You think that's okay? Think it's okay to send an email at 3 a.m. with the fucking script in it? And it's the old script?
You can finish that bread.
You didn't send me the old script, motherfuckers? I'm sick of this shit.
That's the email. Thank God we got out.
We fell into the fucking pit of hell at the end there.
I have a question.
Okay, Mike.
Unless you have something.
No, I got nothing, man.
Dude, do you remember the first time you thought...
Came.
Let's call your mom. Do you remember the first time you were hanging out with like a neighborhood friend? And you were like, that's too long to hang out with that person. Like the first friend you were like, I can't spend all day with
them. Yeah. That's funny. I hadn't thought about it in a while.
What do you remember from? Because as an adult, you know that there are people who you could spend an hour with.
Absolutely.
And there are people who you could definitely not spend more than an hour
with. Absolutely not. And it's important to know who those people
as,
are.
Just as soon as possible.
As soon as you possibly can. I had a neighborhood friend who I also went to school with. And we weren't like the closest friends. Uh-huh. And he couldn't have been more different than me.
Yeah.
Like he was like, you know, we're both Mexican kids, but he was like way more Mexican than me. And he was like definitely smoking pot and definitely like doing things like that. And I was terrified of that. Uh-huh. And I guess we just hung out because we were neighborhood kids. But right. I remember we would like sit in his room. That was absolutely filthy, disgusting.
with black light, black velvet posters.
Yeah. And like, absolutely. And like a curious amount of tinfoil just like all over the place.
Oh, that kid
like,
was doing.
What are you doing with that tinfoil, dude? What's going on in there? You making a robot?
You building a mystery in there?
But I remember we would just sit in there and we would just like watch like monster trucks or something on TV. Yeah. And we'd sit there for like too long. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be like, I think I want to go home now, buddy.
Can I ask you to pause?
Sure.
Can I ask you what these monster truck commercials and shows sounded like? Do you remember any of that?
If you give me a second, I'll pull up exactly that music.
I remember there were fast cuts and they were always trying to, they were telling you that you only needed, you'll pay for the whole chair, but you'll only need the edge.
Right.
So on and so forth.
Yeah. It'd be like this. Is this the kind of rock and roll I'm looking for? This is like boogie woogie. Cosmo.com. No.
I just need like fuzzy guitar rock. Fast.
Yeah. No, that's like porn.
That's like acoustic monster trucks.
What kind of rock we're looking for here?
Like metal, like 80s metal. Yeah. Sunday!
Yeah.
Come to the Pasadena Echoplex. We've got monster trucks.
Monster trucks.
We've got monster trucks.
Monster trucks.
We've got monster trucks. We got all your favorite trucks like Stabber.
Stabber.
The stabby in the mouth. We got the Lopus.
against the Stabber.
We got Tree Cutter coming down from Arizona.
The Sawsome Wolf.
Coming by a chili dog.
Stabber faces off against chili dog.
We got Monster Trucks. Monster Trucks.
Come shit in a 32-ounce fountain drink cup.
These tires are gonna hit you right in the face.
Smell gasoline with your kids.
You're gonna lose your mind with all these fucking monster trucks.
You're gonna lose your mom around our drivers.
Our trucks are gonna crash into your family.
That's the Sunday.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would sound like. I don't remember, like, even. You know how awkward it is sometimes to, like, end a hang?
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember that happening as a kid.
Especially as a kid, you don't really have excuses unless you're like, oh, my family says I got to be home for dinner. Or like, oh, you eat dinner at 2:00 in the afternoon? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Like mine would be like, oh, let's watch the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. I got to go home.
I got to go home right now.
I got to go home right now.
And we didn't have cell phones.
Yeah.
And only the rich kids had pagers.
Right.
And we would just, I remember at one point I taught myself when I was hanging out with neighborhood kids, like where in the sky the sun would have to be.
Right.
Like, fuck, if it gets to that tree, I'm going to be
in
trouble.
You're
going to
get spunked.
I'm going to get spunking.
But there was like, I would ride around the neighborhood in my little bike. With my boy.
Like the kid from The Shining.
Yeah, and we'd go get some Little Caesar's Crazy Bread.
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
Maybe we'd shoot some marbles in the dirt lot, like behind Kmart.
Be born in the 20s.
extra, read all about it.
Come on, man. It was the streets. It was Oxnard.
I got a new sack of marbles, dude.
You didn't shoot marbles? No. You didn't do that shit?
I'm stuck in my nose and throat.
We'd shoot marbles. We had the big, giant, big boys, and we had the little ones. And we'd like
marbles, you know. Is spherical pogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like there was like a way to like launch them with your hand that could really knock out.
Do some damage
and knock your marbles out.
It'll go through your
mom's
wall.
And I could
wall.
Never do it. I would always hurt my thumb and... That was a real big one. I'm getting out of here. I'm taking my big steel marble I thought I could work with.
So how does that work? There's a circle and yeah, you gotta...
Dude, I don't know. I think there's a million ways to play marbles.
What are the chances this works at all? So hey, Siri?
Yeah.
Siri not available.
Here's what I think. You have your bag of marbles and you got your good ones and you got your okay ones. And you put out your okay ones and then you battle. And if you get knocked out of this circle or whatever, friends can keep your fucking marbles.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. So if you brought out your best shit, you better be ready to fucking lose it.
Give me some soothing music.
Okay.
Some royalty-free soothing music.
How to play marbles. We've got monster truck marbles. Your favorite truck, Baby Killer's here.
That's actually funnier. Dude, I got an idea. So play that music.
Okay.
The goal of each shot is to hit one of the marbles in the center and knock it out of the circle. If the player knocks a marble out, then they get to keep the marble for the rest of the game.
They also
get to take another turn. If no marble is knocked out of the circle, the other player then gets a turn.
Chili Dog faces off against Marble Keeper.
Pulled into the TV. Like that movie. Remember when he got sucked in.
Mom and Dad saved
Mom
the
and
world.
Dad. No. Stay tuned.
I fucking love that movie.
So good.
But I think the guy was a alleged child molester.
Well, Jeffrey Jones.
Is that his name?
Jeffrey Jones played the devil, rightfully so. And dude, Eugene Levy's in that. He's like, remember, he's like the guy with the eyebrows, and he's like, I'm trying to get it. You know, that's it. Yeah. I don't know. Right.
Dude, what was that Eugene Levy movie? What was that Eugene Levy movie where he was like?
And his eyebrows are going up and down like crazy.
It was right here. I mean,
dude, that movie was fucking tight though, because it was fucking John Ritter.
Yeah, that was like very '90s movie.
Super
John
90s.
Ritter for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
And God, what a dude! He was every movie he was in. Remember, he was in Problem Child. He's the dad in Problem Child.
I wonder how much fucking money that guy had.
I hope he had a lot.
Star residuals.
He starred in a bunch of movies, hit movies.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Problem Child was a hit.
Problem Child 2.
Three's Company was a hit.
Three's Company 2.
Two's Company.
Which was the end of one that died. Song.
and then the spinoff, One's Company.
Was there ever an episode about them having a threesome?
That was the horniest show on television, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like, and it was under the disguise of like one of those
they were
like
just roommates.
Happy Days shows.
Yeah.
But it was really horny.
I don't remember the premise enough to be like, they hooked up at one point.
Well, that show really like confused me. That show bothered my sexual growth.
We didn't have the receptors to pick up on what that show was putting
not
in.
At all. But then we'd watch it and we'd be like, okay, I see like these like pretty girls, mm-hmm, and they're like trying to like maybe give him a kiss. and but he's like doesn't want it for some reason,
and it makes his eyes dizzy
and he gets real scared. And it doesn't make any sense to me.
And he's falling over the couch every time they try to give him a kiss on the cheek.
And it's like every fucking episode has some like super hot babe trying to bang him.
Yeah.
And he's just scared of them.
What if on one of the episodes he was just like, I'm gay, dude. Fuck
Maybe,
off.
Maybe, but that's the thing. I don't think he was gay. I think he was just terrified of women or something.
Yeah.
And these beautiful women, like all these women. And Mr. Furley was the shit, man.
He was the guy.
Oh, wow.
He was like their landlord.
I think he was their landlord. Hey! He'd come in with his big old eyes.
Dude, every actor in the 80s and 90s was like, they had their own Eugene Levy thing
right,
happen.
Right.
And they played the same character throughout everything that they were in.
Yeah. So anyway, the reason why I brought it up is because Stay Tuned is a great fucking
movie.
It is.
It's very good.
And it's about a man who gets sucked right into the TV.
Which just happened to our friend in the Monster Marvel.
And the whole movie commercial is about the devil trying to... It's like a commentary on cable television and Americans' addiction to cable TV.
It was an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And it was like the devil made a cable network.
Salesman Roy Knable John Ritter spends all his free time watching television. To the exasperation of his wife, Helen Pandover, one day TV salesman Spike Jeffrey Jones convinces Roy to buy a satellite dish offering 666 channels.
Whoa.
The new addition to Roy's home entertainment system sucks him and Helen into Hellvision, a realm run by Spike, who is an emissary of Satan. For 24 hours, the couple must survive devilish parodies of TV programs if they want to return to reality alive.
Dude, that's such a cool premise.
That's cool as
it's
fuck.
It's so cool.
Dude, if I'm an executive, I'm like, how much do you
green
need?
Light.
We're in the elevator right now.
And
how much do you need?
I don't know if it was a hit. Should we find out if it was a hit?
It says 6 out of 10.
Oh, man.
On Rotten Tomatoes. But that's just angry as fuck internet people.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Internet.
It's got 3 out of 5 stars on IMDb with a rating of 6.2 out of 10.
Maybe it's only because it's when I first started consuming media.
Right.
But I do think that the 80s and 90s was a good time for like seemingly original ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Like the golden age of...
Yeah, dude. Like Beetlejuice and fucking Pee-wee. Like Pee-wee's about a man-child who lost his bike. They made a whole
Batman!
Dude, that's the movie. That's the whole movie.
And he wears the same suit every day.
Now it's like.
And then he gave it to Borat.
They're remaking. Which was my favorite show as a kid, but I don't need to see a movie of it.
You know what I mean? I can see the graphic.
It's a black screen and the music's just like and then the title just pops up on the screen.
And it kind of bounces a little bit.
Yeah. And then it comes to black. But like, you know, commercials, man,
for Nickelodeon GAC.
These fucking studios, man, they're just making these things that they think we want to see because we keep giving them money for things like a Jungle Cruise movie and shit. Transformers and Toys the movie. Dude,
my buddy Rock Johnson seems really excited about Jungle Cruise.
I mean that man deserves every penny he's made.
Dude, his body is
different.
There's no one that didn't moonlight as a god in Greco-Roman times.
Right.
Who looks like that.
We're seeing like a real like Olympian.
What if he was like I'm like a god reincarnated.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah.
What's the guy from God of War? What's his name?
Kratos.
Kratos.
Yeah.
He's like
I'm Kratos. I'm the god of war.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then he starts a big old war and he's evil the whole time. That's cool. Let's write that movie.
It would be cooler if he was good. I would feel better about it if he was good.
But imagine The Rock playing like a fucking like all-time villain. Like it's like the movie is about, it takes place in real life, and it's just about like one day The Rock announces on live television that he was the god of war, and it's too late. He has to start the like end of the world.
The whole time.
He's like, I wanted to just make movies. Yeah. I'm sorry. The time is up. And then this big hellish like Greek fucking God of War type movie starts happening.
Yeah. And like 2012 happens.
Yeah. And the world's just like getting destroyed. And then all of a sudden these like other gods come and it's like, you know, who would it be? It'd be like
just other wrestlers.
Other wrestlers. Yeah, totally. It would be like
Goldberg is one.
Yeah. Who's the one that everyone loves right now that's in movies also? He was in the Suicide Squad.
John Cena.
Like, he would come out and be, like, Zeus or something.
Yeah.
And be like, uh-uh, dude. And then there's this big, like, battle and shit.
And then this whole thing is just a viral clip for SummerSlam 2033.
Right. I'd watch the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
You watch that?
Yeah. Yes, I would. For at least a little, until I fell asleep, I would watch that.
All right, let's get to these ads, huh?
Okay.
And then we'll talk more about Stay Tuned.
Man, that was a great. I would love to see that again. I wonder if that's on anything.
Dude, I just
California Hallmark.
We got an RSS feed from the local news.
Sorry, we just sometimes we get interference.
Scoundown.
It's not really available anywhere. We can make a screening happen, dude. What if we watched it in a movie theater?
My brother-in-law just texted me.
Yeah.
And he must be listening to last week's show.
Yeah.
He goes, dude, Steve's mom, I'm dying.
Isn't she amazing?
Yes. She just wrote back, she's perfect.
She said, please no more sex questions on the podcast.
She's so sweet. Let's never do that to her again.
I know. She's so sweet. Like, she says the same thing anytime I post, like, a butt picture or something on the internet, too. She'll be like, Mijo, please stop showing your butt.
Please, that's your butt.
Come on, Mijo.
Come on.
Leave some things to the imagination, I guess.
Amen.
All right, guys. Let's talk about these wonderful sponsors. Shout out to HeadGum. Shout out to all these upcoming sponsors here. Blargie.
Thursdays at 6.
After. Bah! Guys, let's talk about Squarespace.
Squarespace.
Now, here's the deal. You want to build a website? You want to claim a domain, some kind of cool .com that is uniquely yours? You want to sell something online? You want to market some kind of brand? You know, maybe you're like setting up shop at some local farmer's market and you want everybody to know what your stuff is. You can make that and more with Squarespace. And you can check out them analytics right on your phone. You can gain powerful insights into how your site visitor visit, how you how about how they visit your site, how they interact with your content. in-depth website analytics tools. Very good stuff. And let's talk about the award-winning design. You don't know how to make a website? That's okay. Squarespace makes it so easy. We got templates.
Yes.
And they're beautiful. Powerful e-commerce tools. And there's 24/7 customer support.
You got a problem at midnight?
Exactly.
Not a problem.
You like wake up in the middle of the night because you're like, oh man, I just launched all this stuff on my site. I'm super stoked about it. But like something went wrong. Maybe you misspelled something and you're like, you're trying to figure it out and you can't do it. And maybe your internet connection's doing weird stuff. Just call Squarespace.
Call Squarespace.
See if they can help you out. And 9 times 9 is 10. They probably can. Probably 99 out of legally we can't really say, but I'm sure they will help you because it is award-winning customer support. And you don't win awards by not helping people, you know what I mean?
There's no award
for not helping. So guys, why don't you check out Squarespace, huh? Cuz that'd be cool. And here's the deal. You go to squarespace.com/banter. You get that free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use that offer code BANTER, and you save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Guys, how does that sound?
That sounds really nice.
I think it sounds nice. So why don't you check it out? Go to squarespace.com/banter, use that offer code BANTER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Thank you, Squarespace. Guys, let's talk about Magic Spoon.
Motherfucking touch is gay.
Every song, every brand. Guys, Magic Spoon is just a delicious alternative to those nasty for you sugary sweet cereals that you remember of yore. But Magic Spoon takes those concepts and brings them into this new world where we're more careful about what we put into our bodies. We care a little bit more about what goes in and what comes out.
As a result, better stuff
happens. And as a result, better stuff happens on the inside of you. And I'll tell you what, Magic Spoon is right there in the forefront of giving you things that you want to enjoy because you like the simple things in life, but it ain't gonna destroy your internals. That's right, because maybe we're trying to eat better, maybe we're trying to cut down on carbs or sugar, on unhealthy foods, whatever. Here's the deal. Magic Spoon satisfies those wants for a sugary kind of treat, but we got 0 grams of sugar. There's 13 to 14 grams of protein and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving.
Sometimes you want to indulge, man. You don't want the guilt that comes after.
That's all I'm saying. And it's only 140 calories a serving, which is crazy. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, and low carb. And you can build your own box or get a variety pack with available flavors like coco, fruity,
frosted,
peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon.
Come to the monster truck and see cinnamon.
Magic Spoon is bringing back 2 super popular flavors, by the way, guys. Cookies and cream and maple waffle. That's the one!
That's nice.
Maple waffle. Nice. Oh,
maple
wow.
Waffle is nice.
Woo! You lucky duck. And when those flavors were first introduced for a limited time, did you guys know that they sold out extremely quickly? So here's the deal. Jump on in, build your box, build your variety pack, throw in that cookies and cream and maple waffle if you got it, if you can, before they're gone. Go to magicspoon.com/banter to create your wonderful variety pack or try out the cereal today. And be sure to use our promo code BANTER at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they're going to refund your money, no questions asked. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/banter and use that code BANTER to save $5 off. Thanks, Magic Spoon!
Thank you, Magic Spoon.
Guys, StockX! Woo, 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 StockX. What is StockX, Mike? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay. Thank you, bud.
It's a live marketplace for authentic products of current culture focused on large and growing online market for sneakers, apparel, electronics, accessories, and collectibles.
Legit, exactly what I was going to say.
It's right up our alley. Mike and I were like, what is StockX? Oh, yeah, this is the kind of thing we would use for sure.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we do on this show for darn
sake. Just a bunch of
stuff
we have. Why not check out the value of it on a place like StockX?
And why the heck not? And StockX's powerful marketplace connects buyers and sellers of high-demand consumer goods from around the world using dynamic pricing mechanics.
Our favorite pricing mechanics.
This approach gives buyers and sellers unparalleled access and market visibility, powered by real-time data that enables StockX customers to determine and transact based on fair market value.
Nice.
You want to talk about the kind of brands that you can find on this dang thing?
Okay, let's do that now.
We're talking Jordans.
We're
talking Adidas.
I know them, too.
What about Nike?
Yes.
Heard of Supreme?
Uh-huh.
What about Bape?
Yes.
That's that bathing ape?
Yes.
What about Off-White?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Never heard of this one, but Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton. Gucky. You ever... My favorite character on... Bah! Remember Gucky?
I always thought his name was Yucky.
No.
Yucky from Bah.
And we're talking electronics from leading manufacturers like Sony, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Apple. So here's the deal, guys. It's a live marketplace for what's now and next. You want to check this thing out? How about you want to see the latest and greatest? Maybe you got some stuff you want to sell. Maybe you got some stuff you want to buy. All you got to do is download the app or sign up online to start buying and selling in a few easy clicks. Use the code HISTORYHEAT for free shipping on your first purchase on any order of $240 or more. That's code HISTORYHEAT! StockX.com. So why don't you check it out? Why don't you check it out at StockX.com? Use that code HISTORYHEAT! Free shipping on any order of $240 or more. Check it out. HISTORYHEAT!
Welcome back. Welcome back. The show will get much more normal.
Mike, yeah. We got to talk about this wrestling show we were both at.
Okay.
A while back.
Did we already talk about that?
I don't think so.
I think we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
We talked about the French toast or the Pop-Tart guy and
Pop-Tart
stuff.
Pop-Tart guy.
We talked about this?
I'm almost positive.
Damn, my brain is broke.
Why wouldn't we have talked about that the first week?
I don't know. I mean, we have a lot to talk about sometimes and we go on tangents and we forget.
Is there specifically something you wanted to say?
Well, I guess...
We went to an independent wrestling show.
We went to an independent wrestling
show.
And
it was kind of a... it was like a...
Like performance art almost.
It was like a parody of a wrestling show.
Yeah.
Where everything was super over the top and goofy. Even more so than a regular wrestling show.
But it wasn't like making fun of wrestling. It was like...
No, it's just a parody.
It was a parody in a
comedy show.
But they were like people that you could tell love wrestling, yeah, probably, uh-huh, and like really care about it and, yeah, want to create their own like WWE or something. Yeah. But it's like bonkers shit, like, mm-hmm, a Pop-Tart. And like, yes, man, I wish I knew. There's so many clever ones. Like there's ones where their names are like, a play on words, and then also like a double entendre, and then like all this like other shit.
Yeah.
It really, really bonkers shit, but I was like enchanted by it and I really loved it. And yeah, I want to go like every damn time now.
I think it's what, it's once a month.
Yeah. There's one happening at the end of this month.
We should give a shout out to what they are.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's shout them out.
The Exact Wrestling Federation. Wrestling Pro Wrestling, they're called. WPW.
Yes, that's it.
And I think they have shows once a month in Southern California. Southern California. There was always a guy who said ooh wee you. Summer Squash 2 is their next one. Out of our gourds. So that's the kind of thing you could expect, and that's August 27th at 8 o'clock at the Moose Lounge.
The guy who that played Bob Ross, or who was it? It was
David Arquette.
David Arquette was Bob
Ross. Rob Boss. And he painted a tree, an angry little tree.
Yeah.
And he controlled that tree with a magical brush and made it wrestle somebody else.
And yeah, so, and he's wrestling it with his brush.
Moves. Yeah, he's like sitting on the turnbuckle making it wrestle like a wand, a like giant a magic wand.
Tree.
And that was just incredibly enjoyable.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Because they're great. You know, they're good at what they do. I mean, they're really fucking throwing each other around and shit.
Really, they're throwing each other around in there.
They're throwing each other around in there.
Don't make me go up there.
You go outside sounds like to you're smoke throwing a cigarette. Each other. Those guys are really throwing it around in there.
Hey, how's the wrestling show? Those guys are really throwing it around.
Seems
up
like
there.
They're, hey, are those guys throwing it around in there or what? But yeah, man, that was so tight. But it was like fun because, you know, I had never seen anything like that before. And I really want to do it again. And it makes me want to like, I don't know if I want to, if I, how much I care about like the wrestling that goes beyond that, like the one that's a little bit more serious than that. But if I could like make my way there with more like weird stuff, I feel like I could find my way to like the cool shit.
So I'm going to say some stuff. One, sometimes it's very overwhelming to get into wrestling because there's a lot and you don't know where to start. Like, do I have to go back and watch everything from 50 years ago? No. Should you watch scattered things to understand the way things are? Yeah. I think a lot of the hate that comes from wrestling is people look down upon people who they perceive to be watching this as like real conflict resolution.
Right.
And once you understand how wrestling works, which is why places like wrestling, pro wrestling are good for a casual fan to just understand the satire of like how things actually work, then you, it's fun to get invested in the stuff that is presented to be real conflict resolution.
Okay.
Cause you're like, oh, they're all just playing characters, but this one is like a serious
guy. Right, right, right.
It's like the difference between watching, I don't know, goofy superhero something and like a suicide.
Oh, sure. Like the grittier superheroes. Suicide Squad. Suicide Team. Suicide Guys.
Suicide Squad or whatever.
Suicide Squad.
It's like the difference between watching like, who is the mayor on Family Guy?
Adam West.
Adam West, yeah. Batman, and like Dark Knight.
Right, Batman. Right, 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 right.
Yeah, you could still find enjoyment in it.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems like this is my gateway, though, I guess, a little bit. So we'll see. And even Matt was like, we got to see if we can bring you to some, like, upgraded stuff. You
know? Watching stuff like WWE in person is like...
Oh, that's got to be insane.
It's crazy. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's probably like watching any other professional sport.
Like soccer. I can't watch soccer worth a shit on TV. But if you put me there and I'm watching the guys do what they're doing, like, that's crazy.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hockey. Where are we at in the show here? Oh, hockey. Dude, I've always wanted to see hockey live.
You got to go see hockey live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go to Canada and see some real
hockey. It looks too... Well, you have a team in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but Canada's where I should go, though.
I need to find a pond.
I want to go to where it came from.
Dude,
just watch some guys play hockey in the street.
It hockey looks too effortless on TV. You have to like see and watch and hear someone like skating around on ice
doing what they're doing. Because it sounds insane, probably.
And watch someone get like
absolutely crushed,
just leveled in the air
with like armor on and a big wooden stick and shit. Like,
and you could like throw someone against the glass,
right?
And that's just what you do. That's defense.
And you could be sitting right there.
Yeah.
And they'll just smash the fucking thing right in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's weird. There's some sports that are like enhanced by TV. Like I think like football is way boring in person to me.
Interesting.
But football on TV is like more interesting because you know more about what's going on.
Right. There's
1,000 cameras. Basketball in person is really impressive.
Yeah, never seen. I mean, I've seen like, you know, high school stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I've never been to like.
No, any... people who are good at basketball.
Right. Dude, I never went to any like sport, like professional sporting event.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. And then I know Brett was trying to get you to go to a Dodgers game.
He really
game
wants
for
me to go
time.
To a fucking Dodgers game. Yeah.
And it's fun if you just like chilling out. If your thing is chilling out, you'll love going to a baseball game.
Yeah. I like to chill out.
Until it like. There are baseball games. Problem with baseball is it's 1,000 games. There's 5,000 games per season for every team. Right. But when you get into like the playoffs and little things mean a lot, it's crazy to see a stadium of people really invested in something that is like important to the season or a championship
interesting.
Game.
Okay.
Like it's really fun to be a part of like,
yeah,
same thing with wrestling or whatever. But it's really fun to be a part of like, there's 50,000 people here and we're all pretty much rooting for the same little thing, for this ball to get past that man.
Right. That's all insane. You want. That's all you want. You're waiting for it.
It's insane to feel a stadium rumble because a ball went into a basket.
Or it's getting closer to a basket. Yeah.
It's a really beautiful. Really
yeah,
cool
I guess
thing.
You're right. It's just like when you see live show, like live music or something, mm-hmm. or like a theater performance. Like there's just something better about being there.
It's sure. communal. It's nice. It's like a tribal thing. That's why I don't really obscenities. Trust anyone who's like, fuck sports. Sports are stupid. They don't mean anything. Like, of course they don't mean anything.
Right.
But well, nothing means it does anything. Kind of give a city hope sometimes.
Sure.
And that's more than you have ever done.
I used to be like fuck sports and really hated it, but because I never thought any more about it other than like the surface level shit.
And that's pretty much everything you can ever get into.
Exactly. But once you get older and you realize that there's people that you care about in your life that absolutely love sports, you're like, oh, okay, well, it's not about the surface level shit anymore. It's about
the jewelry. And that's why it's important to not like, and I'm guilty of this all the time just because it's fun and easy.
Yeah.
But to not shit on anything that other people like.
Yeah.
Because especially now it's like, oh, listening to that or that shitty music or watching sports is the thing that keeps you sane throughout the week. So just like whatever you like.
I feel like making fun of sports and people making fun of nerd shit will always be a thing probably. Or
yes,
like
because neither side is super creative.
Right. Or just making fun of anything. Like I think there will always be sides making fun of sides whenever there's sides, right?
Yes.
Politically, you know.
Helps you form your identity
sports, whatever.
And stuff.
Yeah. But for me, it's like, you know, I'll always love jokes and shit. I'm a jokester and I love when things are funny. And if you want to make fun of something I love, but it's funny, then I'm like, fuck yeah. Like,
because
we got to laugh at shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like totally the same joke over and over again sucks.
Yeah.
And in essence, when you make fun of sports or nerd shit or whatever, you're essentially making the same joke.
Yes.
But if you do it in a way that's different and I see you,
yeah,
and it's something I love, but it's funny, then I'm okay with it.
Good joke. That's why good jokes are paramount above everything.
Exactly.
Make sure it's good. If you have a sense of humor about what you like or believe in, and you could take a joke about it because you see some type of perspective in it, and you could like laugh at yourself, that's a special
thing,
and that brings people closer together.
If you're going to dish it out.
But it has to be good. And you have to be able to take it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, how about we jump into some motherfucking history roads?
History.
Dude, I watched that McCartney 3-2-1.
History.
It's fucking real.
Isn't it incredible,
good.
Dude?
Yeah, I love it.
So I didn't know who that guy was.
Rick Rubin. Yeah.
I feel like a
ravishing
dumbass.
Rick Rubin.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like Rip Van Winkle.
Rick Van Rubin.
Yeah. But he was just like this fucking like hippie dude who I guess is like a legendary producer.
Mega producer guy, yeah.
And I was unaware of that. And I feel so dumb for not knowing.
So happy to be there, sitting crisscross applesauce, listening to Paul McCartney.
With his shoes and socks off. He's just barefoot, hanging out with Paul McCartney. Yeah.
And this is when I fucking went nuts on the guitar. And that, dude, I want to show that show to anyone who's ever like, the Beatles are fucking overhyped. Beatles are nothing.
1,000,000,000%.
And it's like, dude, you don't even know.
Yeah.
It's so easy to be like, it's so easy to do shit like that. And if that's your criticism, like, oh, the Beatles just ripped off all these people, like, go watch that show. You never will, because it's not, you don't want to be proven wrong.
Or it's not your bag or whatever. Right. But yeah, but you don't want to be proven wrong.
And listen to the just the intricacies and how these four people work together and the constraints that they were under. Like, they didn't record as easily as they do today because of technology. Sometimes with like most of their catalog, they record like a song in an hour.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time they can get studio to, and just all these crazy fucking.
Yeah.
The fact that none of them. Or like Paul couldn't read music.
No,
so
and
he
just
memorized all that stuff.
And then when he was talking to like the orchestras when they're gonna like, you know, do strings in a Beatles song or something, and he's like, he wants the strings to sound a certain way, he literally just goes like, and they have to like fucking, yeah. But the shit that he would like roll out of his brain was like gorgeous art.
Yeah.
Like there's an episode where he talks about how he like dreamt the song yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like he dreamt it. He dreamt the notes, like the way it sounded.
Yeah.
And he's like, I woke up and I went right to the piano and I started to like play it. And I was like, holy shit, this is like a good song.
Yeah.
But in his dream, he was like, whoa, this is a good song. And he was like, usually you'll wake up and you don't remember. Like if you hear music in your head when you're sleeping or when you're dreaming, and like usually you'll wake up and not remember it.
I had one of these the other night.
Right?
And it was a theme song for a show that me and my friend were on. And all I did throughout the whole dream was write the theme song. And I got up and I wrote lyrics, but I don't remember how they went.
Wow, fuck.
And then the lyrics, I looked at them again, they were basic as fuck.
Right, but like in your dream, you're like, oh, this is cool. And like, but it's just so crazy that like, you know, we can all relate to maybe a dream like that, but this motherfucker dreamed up yesterday.
And then he did
one of the greatest fucking songs of our time.
Yeah.
Of humanity. And it, yeah, it's really a gorgeous show. It's called McCartney 3-2-1. And it's on Hulu.
I'll never even remember where I put that note. It's just gone. Might as well just kept it in the dream.
You might stumble upon it at some point and be like, oh, that's fun. That's the other thing. They talk a lot about how like if you had a song idea, you had to like write it. You had to find paper or like, you know, like.
Sometimes there was no pen.
So, so we had to use our own blood or mucus.
Papaya, we had to smash a tree and crush it into paper and bleed on it, and that's how we got try to see it my way.
Squeeze, squeeze. this history road comes from Sean McNeely. He says, Lee Blank is my favorite blank.
Nice, love these.
He says, hey boys, my name is Sean, and I've got quite the blank is my favorite blank for you guys. To set the scene, me and my friends were playing Dungeons and Dragons, and someone came across some magical beans. Hoping to learn something about them, the DM was describing them, and somehow the phrase dry beans was said. Instantly, I said, Dry Beans is my favorite Mario Kart character. And not a single chuckle was heard.
Hey, we're kind of playing a game right now. If you could not.
Hey, this is kind of like serious. So pick your character.
I'm sorry, DM, like you were saying.
And not a single chuckle was heard.
Imagine if he just kind of gathered up his things.
And it's just like, yep. I guess we're
okay.
Jingle the keys.
Okie dokie.
Thanks for slapping the sides. Slapping the sides.
Okay. Call an Uber. Didn't drive. Drove with Mary.
We got away from Mary again. We sat there for a few seconds in silence until we moved on. Needless to say, my disappointment was immeasurable.
Those aren't good friends, man.
I hope you guys get a laugh out of this like I did. Have a good one, fuckers. Sean.
Fuck, man. That's so funny.
We got another blank is my favorite blank. We're getting quite a few of these. Robert.
Came with Mary.
Came with Mary. Second. Fucking Mary. Mary's your bag in my car. Or...
Okay. No one's even looking at.
He's just sitting around stuffed animals
in the corner away from the table. Get with Mary.
Robert says, a history road. I think I did the joke right. Hey, Mark and Jeeves, I wanted to write in next and tell email. You about. Here we go. We're going to a next one. This next one is from Ravy.
Put some respect on it.
We've got a Ravy sends an email saying,
no, go back and read that.
Robert says,
you know what you did though.
I wanted to write in and tell you about that time that I used the blank as my favorite blank joke against my own family. For some time, my mother and father had been carefully planning how to arrange the flower garden in their backyard.
That's nice old person activity.
They started listing off the names of flowers, daisies, poppies, mullein, Dusty Millers, and I quickly snapped to attention and yelled at my father, Dusty Millers is my favorite oddly racist sitcom from the 70s.
A lot of places you could have gone with that.
Indeed. The joke proceeded to get no laughter from either of my parents while I laughed hysterically for about 30 seconds at my own stupid joke.
I should probably look into that.
From your two-horn honk born boy toy. Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
P.S. I've been recovering for the last couple months from a kidney transplant. God, I appreciate damn. A call to help get my spirits up. Absolutely not.
No, I'll block Rob, down get my well medications soon.
I'm having to take. I hope you get well soon, Robert. No, I'm definitely not going to call you.
My name is Mike. His name is Steve. Robert.
Cassandra sends an email. Michael.
Okay.
Disneyland vomit and poop cleaner is what the subject of this email is.
Love it. Can't wait.
Love. I hope we get more reports from this person.
Big fan.
Hey, Mike and Steve. My name is Cass. I've been a fan of you both since the SourceFed and Cloverfields days. Thank you both for all the laughs over the years. Your podcast helps my mental health tremendously.
That's great.
Since the shitting and puking stories at Disney keep coming in, I thought I would share a few of my stories as a former Disney cast member. Please do. In my early 20s, I was a Disney college intern. When I applied for the internship, I imagined steering the Jungle Cruise boat or working at the shops on Main Street.
Is Disney college a thing?
Yeah, it's where you learn to be like a Disney cast member, basically. Oh. But Disney had other plans for me. Custodial.
Oh boy, how bad were you in college, dude? Hey, you know what you can do?
Disney college. Yeah, if you went to Disney college.
Yeah.
To learn how to work at Disney.
You're just not fun?
What happened?
Bad imagination?
Yeah, tell us.
Okay, now this is a mouse. No, it's not. That's a guy in a suit.
No, that's Mickey Mouse.
No.
That's Mouse.
No, that's mouse. Greg in a Mickey Mouse suit. No, you're not really getting it.
Yeah, but that's my friend Greg.
Yes, but it's a giant mouse and he makes all the dreams of the children come true.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Is my friend Greg in there? Like, is
okay, so he's in there, but okay, in so our remember we talked about our imaginations?
Yeah.
In our imaginations. Yeah. Imagine making a child's dream come true, and he's Mickey Mouse. My friend
Greg is not going to do that.
Okay, you can clean up shit for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life! I did my best.
I'm sorry. I like being here, but that's Greg for sure.
Looking back, Soarin' Over California seems to stick out to me as one of the dirtiest.
Can I do one?
Yeah.
Soarin' Over California is my favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Got that to fly like an eagle over the Golden Gate, my people.
Soarin' Over California.
Guests were constantly pooping, peeing, and vomiting on and around the ride.
Something to keep in mind.
One time, the ride was shut down for a day because diarrhea had dripped from a guest seat while the ride was in motion, and it dripped all over the room, ride and guests.
Nope.
Another time, a teen girl was nonstop projectile vomiting while her mom just kept telling me, yelling to me, she'll be fine. She's been doing this the past few days.
Dude, come on. I'm sorry. We should have gone to the park. We're trying to get a demon out of Rebecca.
But, you know, we couldn't just... We had this vacation planned for months.
We had the fast pass.
We couldn't miss the fast pass.
You better suck stinks.
Another time. I would also frequently find used tampons flung in the bushes and plants.
Hey, dude. Have what decency, is that?
Human decency.
What is that? I understand, whatever.
It's a gross misunderstanding of the world.
Let's do the benefit of the doubt and say that everyone mentioned here was in some kind of emergency situation.
Let's hope. But tampons in the bushes is never an emergency.
Toxic shock syndrome. You're embarrassed
your boyfriend's going to see that you fucking have a tampon on.
I can't get fingered on in the magical mystery house.
Yeah.
Mountain.
Goofy's fucking house. Can't get jacked off at Goofy's house.
I can't get jacked off in Goofy's fucking house.
What's this world coming to?
Look at how long the line is for Goofy's fucking house.
Okay, so check this.
Welcome to my fucking house.
If you want a jack off, there's the places in the back, yuck. Goofy's supports positive sexual.
Anyone who's here to finger their girlfriend, form a line to the left.
Yuck. Yuck. Whoops, I'm about to fall down the stairs. Boink, 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 boink.
That's the ride.
Come on back if you want to finger your girl. That's an actual clip from Goofy's Goof House.
I wonder when the camera goes off in that ride.
I have so many more Disney stories, including the time my lead.
What a stupid scenario.
It's a...
Goofy's fucking house. Fuck. Sorry.
I have many more Disney stories.
Please keep them coming, dude. You want your own segment on this
show? I know, right? Including the time my lead trained me on how to use the body bag stored in the custodial tents backstage.
Okay, so if anyone's looking for phones.
If you want to hear more stories, you can reach me at, and there's a phone number. But definitely just send us some emails, huh? How about that, Cass? Tell us about what happened. You're
curious to call that person?
No. You want to call that person?
I think if there's anyone worthy of a call, it's somebody with stories like that. I would say give her a call. See if we can get one quick story out of her. Would that be fun?
Okay, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Why not? It's been a while since we've done one of these.
Been a while. Since our crew.
What is it again? I always forget. Star 62 or something?
Star 76 is the busy signal fix.
How do you block?
Star 67?
That's it.
Does that even work anymore, you think?
Yeah.
Does
it comes in as a no caller or caller ID or no caller ID or whatever. Star 67.
Star somebody's ring back tone is don't bring back the piss. And I couldn't tell who it was.
All right, let's see.
Did you have a lot of friends with ring back tones?
What's that?
Ring back tones. It's like when you were calling your friend, it would play The Killers instead of fucking.
Oh, yeah.
A ringtone.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You
had nice
to like
idea.
Set that up with your phone company or something.
Yeah. Dr. T-Mobile. What's her name again?
Cass.
Hi, Cass.
Hello.
Hello, is this Cass?
It is. Oh my god.
Cass, did you send this? Did you send us a History Road 3 hours ago?
Yes, I did. I cannot believe this. My whole world is like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Do you have time to talk?
Do you have time to talk with us, Mike?
Yes,
it's Mike
I do.
And Steve, and you're on Dynamic
yes,
Banter. Excuse me, I'm talking right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
I have a quick question for you, Cass.
Yes.
What is wrong with your imagination that they would sentence you to the custodial arts for your...
I don't know. I think I'm really nice. I was a huge Disney fan, so I was just like, I would love to go to Disney. Like,
oh,
I just wanna
so
go.
You they were like, we could easily put her where most people would not want to be put because she's just being a kind person.
But you didn't like fail out of Disney College.
You didn't fail out of your classes in Disney College.
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I didn't even know I had that job. They have you move in and then you start working there and they're like, okay, here you go. So my roommates were like, one of them was working as a skipper. Another one was doing retail. Another one was photographer. And then I got custodial. And initially, I was super depressed. But then I ended up loving it. It was a super disgusting job. But I lost a bunch of weight. I had, sorry, I'm super nervous. I can't believe it's happening.
No, don't. I mean, there's literally nothing to be.
And I ended up loving it. It was a disgusting job, but I loved it.
Man, I can't believe they didn't tell you what you were doing until after you moved in.
But that's the thing. It's an excitement. Mostly everyone's in their early 20s and we're in college and we're, you know, in LA or I guess Anaheim and we're close to LA and most of us are not from a city. I'm from a very small town. I grew up with an alien gas station. We had no grocery store until I was in my late teens. I mean, I am not from a big city, so this was very exciting for me.
So you were just happy to get the job. You were just happy to get it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, absolutely. Hit us with some stories.
Well, give us one of your poop and your vomit story was quite interesting.
Yes. So I was around so much poop and vomit. I mean, I'm with my son, my MSL son.
What's your son's name?
My son's name is Trey.
Hi, Trey.
Hi. Hey, Trey. What's up, dog?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would just constantly see people vomit. I mean, it was just every day. People are throwing up. I would just hear all these crazy stories like, hey, we got to go clean the car's ride again. Someone shit all over it, smeared poop all over the place. Or there was always hair all over the rocks in Cars Land. So one day I was just picking
Why?
In the throw up?
Yes. I guess because they wash down the rides and because there's so much cement everywhere. It just all accumulates in the rocks.
Wow.
And so for one day, I was just picking hair and I would come home a gross mess. But then my roommates would be like, I just helped with the Make-A-Wish. And I just took photos of this couple.
So they had a much more magical experience.
Yeah. But I ended up loving the job. I had a great time. It really taught me about how important the job was.
Hell
and
yeah.
I wanted to make sure the park looked great. I had all the insider like tips and tricks about rides. I got to go to Disney World for free. I got to take my parents and I think that was just like such a great experience. And for my son to hear these stories and for me to tell him like, yeah,
you can take a deep breath. You can take a deep breath.
I'm like bouncing my son and talking to you guys. I can't believe this.
No, that's just okay. I was gonna say that you. First of all, thank you for your service.
What?
Because
and what a beautiful outlook on that.
Absolutely,
job.
Because it's like, I love that you're like, I'm from a small town and I love Disney and I got to be a part of the whole, part of the magic, you know, as if you will. And, but like, I think it's, important to note that, like, you know, when you pay the astronomical cost that it costs to get into Disneyland, the last thing you want to see is poop and tampons and vomit everywhere. And for people like you to be on it so fast and to take care of it when nobody else really wants to is truly an admirable thing. Yeah. I think that's a wonderful job. I mean, it's you know, it's not the funnest job.
Not the most glamorous. Yeah.
No, but it's so, I want you to know that I respect you for doing that kind of work. Absolutely.
And I was hoping to see you because this was around, I think, 2013, between 2013 and 2015.
And I went quite a bit.
Yes, and you never went when I was there, and I was there all the time. And I was like, maybe I can see him when I'm doing trash one day.
All you had to do was shit on Splash Mountain.
Yeah, yeah. All you had to do was tell me that there was poop somewhere, and I would have been there.
Right?
Yeah, even though you're not allowed to really probably announce that. You guys have all those special codes and shit for poop.
B for vomit. Yeah, we had all those codes.
Was there a code C? You don't have to answer that. All right, Cass, listen. Thank you for your wonderful history road, and thank you for letting us bother you while you juggle a child on your... leg there. Will you send?
Guys are awesome.
Thank you. Will you send us more stories as you remember them?
Absolutely. Yes, and I have tons of photos from my time with the internship, so I can totally share some stuff.
I want the incriminating one. You got a picture of Brer Rabbit with his pants off?
No, but I will look just in case.
Just in case.
You labeled it. Just take a look. Maybe take a peek. Maybe there's something in the back.
All right, Trey. Listen to your mom.
All right, and also, Cass, send us a history road about the body bags.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. Absolutely.
All right, my friend. Well, it was great talking to you. Thank you for the history road.
You too. Love you guys.
Bye, Cass.
Love you, Cass. Bye.
Wow,
that
was sweet.
What an adorable person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a good time.
God bless
Ryan, Cass. Cut that whole thing out.
Go back to the guy who was silly with our names.
All right, where are we at? All right, let's say goodbye then. That was wonderful, man. What a show.
I really enjoyed that one. There's at least two clippable moments in that show. And I loved hanging. What? Were you not recording?
No, there's one more that's like real good. I think we should do one more history road.
Well, I need to go to the bathroom. So will you buy me a minute?
Absolutely.
We'll buy Micah. Can you buy me a minute by Journey?
Can I tell you what it's called, though? Jordan sends an email saying, the biggest turd on church camp's floor. And that's what we love. We love to hear it. Hi, milk and steam. That one's funny. Don't let Mike hear it. My name's Jordan, and I'm a six horn honk baby backup, baby's backup boy from Washington State. Six? What makes you a six horn honk? What do you think makes you a six horn honk boy? You can't just declare yourself that. This is bullshit. Quick shout out to Redacted. That's really funny. I want to tell you guys about the time I saw the most massive shit on the floor of a semi-public restroom at the tender and delicate age of 12-year-olds. So I went to church camp in the summer of 2010, and I had some of the most shocking experiences of my short life there. For context, this camp had great food because all the people who cooked there were aunties and grandmamas from the South. God bless. You kidding me? That must have been the best fucking food. Ooh. Give me that. This guy would have the best food at this church camp, Mike, because all the people who cooked were the aunties and grandmamas from the South.
Milk and steam, he said.
Milk and steam.
Milk and steam?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. I love that. That's what I like. It. So one summer afternoon, I walk over to the boys' room to drop a hot one.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
And as I opened the door, I was hit by the scent of hot decay and sin.
Uh-oh.
It's a bathroom, I thought. Of course it smells like poop. But then I saw it. Staring me in the face in the absolute middle of the floor was quite literally the biggest shit I've ever seen. Easily the size of a baby's torso.
Now that's only on purpose, right? In the middle of the floor in the bathroom? Like,
I guess. I mean,
you're surrounded by toilets.
Somebody had decided to shit in the dead center of an empty restroom and run off, presumably without wiping.
Yeah. Oh.
I was terrified. Not only from the size and the audacity of the dung, but for the but for fear that the counselors would think it was me who'd shat.
Got to do it live feed.
So like any reasonable preteen would do, I ran as fast as I could. In hindsight, this probably made me look more guilty, but if anyone suspected me, I never knew. If you're the person who shit on the floor at Miss Angie's church camp, fuck you. Thank you for reading my recollection, Speedway. Nice. I hope this episode has been a good one. Much love and many thanks, Jordan.
It's like, I don't want my good history wrote on a subpar episode.
No. Cut it out if it's on a bad one. All right. Well, anyway, thank you for that history road. And thank you to everyone who sent in a history road. And we'll get to your guys's at some point, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Or we'll try our best at dynamicbanter@gmail.com. And of course, as always, if you want that merch, that sweet, sweet merch from the DB Boys and Byron McCoy, you can go to, what is it?
Dynamicbanter.clothing.
That's right.
There's also, if you ever get the hankering for wanting to see us live, our unreleased Nashville show, the video of our unreleased Nashville show is there. I always forget about that. Sweatpants are sold out, but I've been getting an overwhelming response. Thank you for everybody who reached out. So it looks like we'll be reprinting them in the fall.
Yeah.
And thank you for enjoying those.
And get your damn pants on, you know what I mean? Get them on.
It's Dynamic Banter. Get your damn pants on. Mm. Also, Steve.
Yes.
October's coming up.
Yeah.
Which means we could do our yearly Halloween drop. So start thinking about that.
Yeah.
I already got a couple ideas.
Yeah.
And I had a good time on the show today. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you, Cass.
Dude, let's do an Exorcist shirt where like, so Byron did a shirt that says The Introvert and it looks like The Exorcist. And it's just the poster. Do you remember The Exorcist poster? It's just like the priest at the bottom of like there's a big house and there's a staircase that goes to the house and the priest is just down on the bottom and there's like a street lamp illuminating him and it just says The Exorcist. Like,
okay.
There's nothing really other spooky other than the ominous kind of house. But what if we did the sleep paralysis demon?
Oh,
and it's like it, right? And it's like a fucking Cecil down at the bottom, and it's like he's coming to like haunt the DB boys.
This one,
that's it. Yeah, yeah. But it's like the sleep paralysis demon.
Yes, the Cecilist.
The Cecilist. Whatever, something like that. Anyway,
that's great.
You got any other plugs, Mike?
Playing a lot in LA, so always be on the lookout. I put all my LA dates usually in the stories of my Instagram. So that's just at Mike Falzone. And then I'm going to St. Louis Obispo, I think the 23rd or 24th of this month.
Wagwam.
Fucking the surrounded Friends and Friends crowd work show is coming back to the Improv Lab on the 10th of next month, which is a Friday. And tickets are available, I think, at HollywoodImprov.com. And I'll put them on my website. Oh, they are also available at MikeFalzone.com. I got a Lightroom preset pack if you're a photographer. Thank you so much. And that's all we'll give you because it ends up being a lot. But still working on final touches on the zine. First DB zine.
And from what we've seen of the zine, it's looking mighty
pristine.
Exactly. Cool. Hell yeah. Done. All right, well, thank you guys for listening to the dang program. We love you, we care about you. Thank you to HeadGum and the sponsors, my favorite band.
HeadGum and the sponsors.
Peace. And we'll catch you next time on DB. Bye bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.